We're going to hear next from Romanita Hairston. Romanita is Vice President of U.S. Programs for World Vision. She understands from personal experience the impact of living in an under-resourced community, and she works today to establish long-term community-based development that will improve academic, social, physical, and interpersonal development of vulnerable youth. Romanita?
Thank you, Greg. World Vision is extremely concerned about the most vulnerable children in the United States and around the world. In the U.S., we're specifically focused on improving the well-being of children because the U.S. ranks 24 out of 25 amongst developed nations in overall child well-being. It is unfortunately not the safest or the healthiest place in the world for kids to grow up. And many of the same issues that we tackle in the world's poorest nations exist in the U.S., which is often very shocking to many people because they're just not aware of the real issues that kids face. And we have really come to understand that improving the academic, social, physical, and emotional development of vulnerable youth has to start early. It has to continue throughout their development, and it must involve the entire community. We know from our experience how important it is to get and keep children on the right path in life as early, and to start that as early as possible. One of the things we see throughout the developing world as we work with children and families and communities is the importance of community involvement. And World Vision really works to help parents and caretakers provide a stable foundation for children to grow and develop. And this includes rescuing and helping children who have suffered from abuse and violence in a variety of contexts. And two things that we have found, two particular strategies that really work well, the strategies of increasing caring adult relationships and empowering young people in the context of their community is critical to healthy development as well as to building resiliency in children and youth. Our work here in the U.S. and around the world has taught us that these are two of the best approaches to ensure that children and youth thrive in vulnerable communities. Healthy relationships with caring adults and healthy adult communities are critical to the development of key internal and external assets that promote thriving behaviors in young people and that reduce the risk of risk-taking behaviors in children and youth. And what we have also found is those relationships become the key places of safety for young people when they find themselves in situations where they are facing violence, abuse, or neglect. They can turn to those caring adults, and they are often the individuals who can rescue them if they find themselves in difficult situations. We also focus on empowering young people to be partners and not merely program participants, and that enables them to really actively participate in change and have ownership of the results of their own actions. This encourages long-term, sustainable, positive impact in their lives, and it lets them know that we are not just programming them, but we are actually working with them in partnership to see them become the individuals that we know that they can be, that they have been uniquely created to be. And we know that we can't do this work alone. It's a collaborative effort of community organizations, churches, and individuals who are all focused with a dogged commitment to the well-being of children and youth. And I would just emphasize that those two strategies, they know no borders. It works in the United States, it works in the developing world, and it helps us to raise healthy children and develop healthy communities. And so I just can't express enough the importance of giving children the best start we can at the earliest age possible. And I have seen over the 20 years that I've been doing this work some wonderful examples of young people who have been brought to thriving places because of this kind of work. In L.A., we had a group of young people and community leaders who were really taking on the issue of violence. We had violence that young people face in their homes and in the context of their communities. And we had a staff worker who literally couldn't go through a neighborhood without running into the police all the time. And community leaders, church leaders, as well as young people together gathered. And through a coalition, they were able to strengthen that neighborhood and to bring a different kind of vision for what community could look like and to bring a different kind of vision for how young people are engaged in community and how young people should be involved in community. And that led to systemic change, because if we're going to produce healthy, thriving kids, we have to give people a new vision of what community can look like, and a new idea of their role in the shaping of that community, to really overcome what can often be a sense of hopelessness and helplessness. One young lady who we worked with in New York, she came from a really difficult background, and it included some abuse by a family member. And she was one of our participants in our National Youth Empowerment Program. And we were talking to her about the impact of the program on her, and she made a comment that will stick with me for a very long time. And I'll just call her V for the purposes of this call. But she talked about the fact that she had never been in a church, and she didn't know what a church would be like. But in our program that she participates in, which actually isn't a program to bring kids to faith, it's a program to let children know that they are loved, but we work with many people from the church community as well as from other organizations in feeling the love of being dignified as a person, being loved despite her circumstance, of having her story honored, valued, and seeing that through her experiences she could teach her community about how to be different. She said, if that is who God is, I want to know that God. And she found her way to a church, and she gave her life to Christ because she saw a different kind of Christian, a Christian who reaches out to the vulnerable, who stands for injustice, and who loves unconditionally the way that we have been loved. And now she's applying to law school or graduate school, applying to several universities throughout the country. She's a prolific speaker and a writer, actually has aspirations to lead this organization, to lead World Vision. And so she was surrounded, though, by a community that included churches and other individuals who all want to see the world be a better place for kids, and who believe that kids fundamentally cannot grow up in places where they are not safe.